worship. Thanks be to you, O God, that we have risen this day to the rising of this life itself. The purpose of God, may the purpose of God be between us, and each purpose, the hand of God between us and each hand, the pain of Christ between us and each pain, the love of Christ between us and each love. O God, you brought us to the light of this new day. Bring us to the guiding light of eternity. You may be seated.
Good morning. It's wonderful to see your shining eyes this morning. Please join me in our confession as we confess who we are. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and soul and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us amend what we are and direct what we shall be so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Let's take a moment for our own silent confessions. And now, with the assurance of pardon, please notice that you have one sentence at the end. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, and Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life has gone. The new life is begun. All praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
it certainly feels right and proper that we are back here today. Thank you, musicians all. Our reading today comes to us from Paul's letter to the little church in Rome. The entirety will be chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, but I'm not going to read the whole thing. I am also going to be reading from the Common English Bible. Listen now for God's word. Therefore, since we have been made righteous through his faithfulness combined with our faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have access by faith into this grace in which we stand through him, and we boast in the hope of God's glory. But not only that, we even take pride in our problems, because we know that trouble produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character hope. This hope doesn't put us to shame, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. So, how did that thought begin? Paul tends to talk in very long sentences, so let's see. Therefore, he says, therefore, since we have been made righteous through his faithfulness, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is quite a statement. And yet, we don't always act as if it's the truth. Never mind this COVID-19 rigmarole. Life is one great, wide, turbulent stream, and it foams and roars over boulders and stones in our lives. And because of that, most of us can get pretty well wound up about almost anything. Let's see. Those of you who are students among us might find that your anxiety soars while cramming for finals. Let's face it, many of us are still confused about the difference between a trapezoid and a rhombus. And oh, once upon a time, that stupid neighbor of mine dug up the underground pipe that I put in with her permission that was between our property. Her house was higher than mine, and her water was leaking into my basement and probably still does. And what about the wife who asks the patrolman, "My husband's been picked up on DUI again?" Or the family who is told the insurance company is going to stop paying for mom's nursing home care? It's easy to feel like Job in moments like these. You might remember Pastor Caleb spoke about Job last week in his sermon online. You know, it's most easy when troubles tumble down upon us, one on top of the other from high up above on those cliffs, above the stream of life. Perhaps it would just be easier if we threw in the towel and curse God, like Job's wife encouraged her husband to do. And then Paul suggests his readers take pride in their problems because they've been made right with God through Jesus' faithfulness. Now, being proud of life's problems seems odd to 21st century people. But in the earliest times of the church, those who professed faith were cast out of society. They'd be disinherited by their families. Their businesses would wither and die. Life as they knew it would come to an end. And all because they chose to follow Jesus. When we put Paul's words into perspective in light of what was going on in those days, they make much more sense. And doesn't losing your livelihood and your family make most of our problems seem like rocks instead of boulders? Paul was encouraging the members of the church in Rome to remember that because they followed the Son of God, they knew that this life, it wasn't just the be-all and end-all. They could hope for so much more. That said, for the last 3 months, we've been going through massive changes to the way in which we live our daily lives. The mandate for complete isolation shook us to our cores. And now, just as we are easing towards more interaction with non-family members, civil rights demonstrations are beginning. Now, at first, it was people loudly demanding that governments permit their businesses to be reopened immediately. More recently, it's folks forcefully picketing for civil rights for all people. And now, just this week, the Fed has declared that the country really is in a full-blown recession. That's an awful lot of upheaval in a very short span of time. But then again, these last 3 months, haven't they felt like an eternity to us? But Paul says that trouble produces endurance. I don't really believe, though, that things have ever become so rapidly topsy-turvy in my life. Doesn't building endurance usually take time? Many of us will remember the tumultuous 1960s. Remember the summer of love, the British music invasion, the 1964 World's Fair, civil rights riots, Vietnam, and yes, the assassinations of Jack, Martin, and Bobby. But these events happened over the course of several years, a decade. Our endurance for troubles grew with the time. And the same is true about World War II and, yes, the Great Depression. My mom told stories of her life during the 30s. One pair of shoes was all she was given every year, no matter how much her feet grew. One pair. And finding an orange in her Christmas stocking? Oh, we're talking seriously huge. Now, Lou LeMaster, thank you very much, Lou, is a historian, as we all know, and he pulled up some information about, Zanesville during that era for us to learn from. So everybody here knows about the stock market crash of October 29th, 1929. The day after, the Times Recorder noted, and I quote, "Several times during the day, particularly in the early afternoon and again towards the close, it looked as though a fresh collapse in prices bringing ruin in its wake was inevitable. But each time the holes were plugged and the threatened disaster was averted." By February 23rd, 1930, 4 months, things here were pretty grim. A total of 2,323 persons in 490 families in Zanesville and the vicinity were given relief by the Salvation Army during the quarter period that ended on the 23rd. By 1931, the citizens of Zanesville, along with the rest of the country, had realized that this depression wasn't going to go away anytime soon. It was even reported, though, on January 5th, 1931, a farmer knocked on the door of the State Security Bank that then stood on Main Street at Fifth. The bank had closed, and yet he insisted that the door be opened so he could deposit his money. It was a sadly confusing time. Now, Roosevelt wasn't elected until November of 32, and it took a few years before his New Deal was producing results in the area. Throughout it, all people's endurance kept growing stronger. And as Paul said, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Those who lived through, who endured that long period of trial and tribulation, developed resiliency and generosity and kindness and self-control and all those other great traits that reveal the depths of one's character. So in his letter to the Galatians, Paul wrote of the most important characteristics a person of faith might develop. He said, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." It is these sorts of characteristics that enable each of us to find hope in tough times. Lou pointed out in one of his emails to me that in 1938, the depths of the Depression, the voters of Zanesville approved a bond issue to build what is now known as Seacrest Auditorium and a swimming pool and some other thing. I forget what the other thing was. That is huge. They had endured much, but their character had become stronger. That vote was a testament to their hope. And it's these sorts of characteristics that Jesus himself embodied and taught his followers. Now, most of you here are already or have already been nurturing these traits. And this capacity to nurture ourselves, as well as the lives of those whom we touch, is a gift of the Holy Spirit, which increases the more we lean into the traits. But we are tired from all this junk we have been living with. How can we live in peace with each other, let alone God? We're all on edge. Why not just forget the recent past and go on with our lives as we did before March 16th? Our last time together in church was March 15th. It's sad to say, though, that this era isn't history yet. It's just been 3 months. Our character is still being molded by the Holy Spirit. And over the time ahead, I suspect that more than one of us, myself included, will ignore the pain of someone whose job has evaporated instead of helping him. Or perhaps we'll push too hard for something or some way of life and upset someone else's apple cart. Arguments about how it is best to reopen the church just might happen. Someone will come to work sick and share her illness with others. These behaviors don't exactly make us ungodly. They make us human, created good, but broken, less than wholly righteous. So I wonder, do we fail to love God and others because our endurance and character aren't yet wholly complete? And yet, human though we are, in love for us and with us, Jesus allowed himself to be put to death. And about that, here in this letter to the Romans, Paul says, and that's where we get to the rest of the reading. While we were still weak, at the right moment, Christ died for ungodly people. It isn't often that someone will die for a righteous person, though maybe someone might dare to die for a good person. But God shows his love for us because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So now that we have been made righteous by his blood, we can be even more certain that we will be saved from God's wrath through him. If we were reconciled to God through the death of his son while we were still enemies, now that we have been reconciled, how much more certain is it that we will be saved by his life? And not only that, we even take pride in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the one through whom we now have a restored relationship with God. This is God's word for God's people. What did he say? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Over Christmas of 1944, my dad fought in the Battle of the Bulge. It was a bloody, god-awful battle that lasted over a month. 70,000 Americans were injured. Another 19,000 were killed. And that's just the American contingent, never mind the French and the British and other allies. These men fought and died for people who were often kind and good and faithful. And that is truly amazingly wonderful. But they didn't go to battle for us because we failed to follow God's law of loving God and loving one another. Only Jesus has ever done that. And because he righteously chose to live out the call set upon him, God chose to forgive us all of the errors of our ways. And God now reaches out to us saying, "Come home, my child. I still love you, and I want you by my side." Because of Jesus' life and teachings, the Holy Spirit is nurturing us in love and joy and peace and forbearance and all the other spiritual fruits. These are the kinds of fruits that will provide us with endurance to move through difficulties in any era of our lives. And endurance builds character, and character hope. And truly, through Jesus Christ, we live in peace with God. Friends, the challenges we have faced and will face are merely stones half submerged in the stream of life. The Creator, who loves us more than we can ever know, is waiting for us on the other side of this stream. that God wants to share with us. And Jesus is the bridge that allows us to return home. Now, I'm still not sure that we can take pride in our problems. It's just too dissonant with my upbringing. But that God loves us is a sure and certain knowledge that we can hold close to our hearts as we move carefully over the rocks in life's turbulent stream. And we can certainly take pride in the love of God that Jesus has reconnected us to and is drawing us ever closer to this day and always. Oh, yes. We do absolutely have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
I invite you now to join me as we profess our faith. And this one comes from the Brief Statement of Faith in the Confession of 1967. Please join me now. We trust in God, the Holy Spirit, everywhere the giver and renewer of life. The Spirit justifies us by grace through faith, sets us free to accept ourselves and to love God and neighbor, and binds us together with all believers in the one body of Christ, the Church. In a broken and fearful world, the Spirit gives us courage to pray without ceasing, to witness among all peoples to Christ as Lord and Savior, to unmask idolatries in church and culture, to hear the voices of peoples long silenced, and to work with others for justice, freedom, and peace.
Hello, can you hear me? Is my mic on? The mic is not on. Is the mic coming on? No. Is it on now? Ah. Okay, sorry. Learning again. Again, I would invite you to remember that the little white church is here awaiting any gifts or tithes that you might choose to offer on this day. But of course, as you are mailing them in, for the most part, please continue to do so. I know that Lou Sidwell and Frank Wahlberg were both, I don't want to say astounded, but amazed, definitely, at the number of people who stepped up throughout the time and continued to send in their gifts and offerings. It really has helped keep the church going. If you haven't been able to make those donations, certainly there is no judgment against you. But if you want to catch up, that would be a joy too. That said, I would like to say a blessing with you for the offerings of this week. O Lord, we thank you for the ability to give of our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our worldly goods to you so that you might bless them and use them in ministry to serve in your world. And all of God's people said together, Amen. I just checked for texts or emails of prayer concerns, but I did not see any. Therefore, I'm going to continue with our prayers. Let us bow our heads and lift our hearts to God. O good and gracious God, with golden sunshine you awoke us this glorious morning and drew us here to worship you with family and friends. We are so grateful that you have kept us healthy and safe these last 13 weeks and are joyous that we can finally gather here together in your presence in this place again. Thank you for the gift of smiling eyes and cheerful voices calling our names, and for the gift of a welcome home dinner that celebrates our reunion. It has been a challenging time, O Lord, but you have been with us every step of the way, even when times were darkest, and for that we praise your holy name and give you thanks. We recognize that the dreadful virus is still in our midst. We know that people have lost their jobs and some their businesses. And people across the country are on edge from living with so much uncertainty and sorrow. But we remember your angels who spoke for you, saying, Fear not. And we recognize that you have sent angels to walk among us to teach us how to love you by caring for ourselves and others, and for other angels who care for us when we fall down in confusion or misery or anger. We again praise your holy name and give thanks to you for these angelic beings in our lives. Help us now, O Lord, to breathe in the peace of the communion of your Holy Spirit so that we might be instruments of that peace in your golden world. O God, we pray for others now. For the homeless who struggle to find enough to eat, and for the prisoners who live in tight quarters. We pray for those who care for them. We especially pray for the people of Central Presbyterian Church who were exposed to the coronavirus and are now in quarantine. We also pray that you might help these people so that they might find your love, rest in it, and be at peace. We pray for those whose mental health is at greater risk because of the challenges of these times, especially those who become so despondent that they begin to think about throwing in the towel, cursing you, and harming themselves. We pray for workers who fear not working because they cannot afford to miss more paychecks and sometimes come to work sick. And we pray for those who are deeply angry and find it hard to forbear with those they are angry with. Please, Lord, do not desert any of these people, for like us, they too are your children. We pray, Lord, for those who are sick or who grieve a loss. We lift up especially Bob Jenkins, who is suffering from kidney stones. Comfort and heal these people with your love as you know best to do. We pray this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus, who taught his disciples to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We struggle. Throughout our lives, there are tough times. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, we will grow to endure those challenges. And endurance produces character, and character, hope. We are not alone. Christ died for us while we were still sinners, that we might be forgiven our humanness. And Christ walks with us each and every day. So go out in hope to love and serve the Lord. And remember that the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community of the Holy Spirit that draws us into that holy dance of Father, Son, and Spirit go with you now and always. Amen.